Okay, hopefully got a new microphone. I think this one might be better. But welcome back to Year, my friends. Today, I am coming live from Boise, Idaho with... Here you go.
Oh, me?
Yep.
Her mom.
It's my mom! My mom is not only my mom, but my mom is also my best friend. And no one I'd rather do this with than my mom. So I'm excited that she's joining me today. But today, we are doing the talk. I'm going to quote it wrong. A year of repentance doesn't burden Jesus Christ. It brightens his joy, by Sister Tamara W. Runia. Runia?
Runia.
Runia.
That's how you say it.
I can't say any of their names. But she... I love this talk. I think a lot of people love this talk.
Me too.
It was really good. And she talks so much about repentance. And so much about how our worth doesn't have to do with our perfect obedience or without taking on our mistakes. How our worth stays the same even though we do make mistakes. And even though we do fall short sometimes. But through Jesus Christ, we can repent. We can change, and that he wants us to repent and to change.
It's really good. I think it's one of my favorite talks of conference, actually. I've been studying this for the last probably month, I think. I feel like Sister Runia has hit it out of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. Like the last two times that she's spoken in conference, she just has nailed it. But this one just really spoke to me. One of the things that really stood out to me, I'm just going to read a quote from her. It says, "I testify that while God cares about our mistakes, he cares more about what happens after we make a mistake. Are we going to turn to him again and again? Are we going to stay in his covenant relationship?" And I feel like he knew we were going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're not here. We're not going to be flawless. We don't have that ability while we're here because we're human. We have that that in us. But he wants to know what we're going to do after, knowing full well that we will make them. And I love what she said about how it's an invitation to leave whatever's causing us pain behind. And she said, to step out of darkness and to turn to his light. And how important is that? I think Satan would have us hide, as she said, and not come and turn towards Jesus Christ. I think he would have us kind of just feel bad about ourselves and be like, I'm not worthy of being in his presence, and to turn the other way. So I love that she said that and asked the question, what are we going to do after we make mistakes? Because we're going to.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. I think because those mistakes are a part of the plan. They're a part of how we learn and we grow. Like when I was on my mission, something that I would always teach friends about repentance is, think about like a little kid. You have a hot stove. They don't know that's hot until they touch it. They burn it and they experience it for themselves. And they're like, oh, this is hot. Don't touch it. And that's how we learn. We're here to learn and gain knowledge. And that's through making mistakes and choosing to utilize a gift God gave us, the atonement of Jesus Christ, and to change and become a better person through that. And while you're talking, you remind me of a scripture in Alma 7. And it says, it's verse 15, it says, "Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and show unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins, and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism." Mm-hmm. And beset means to hinder continually. And I love that it starts with, like, come and fear not, like, come on, like, don't be afraid to repent, don't be afraid to change. Let go of the things that are weighing you down, that are preventing you from coming closer to Jesus Christ and change. And mm-hmm. as you have a willing heart and you want to change, you are able to utilize his atonement so much more, and you can set aside those things that are weighing you down. And that's why repentance is so much about joy, is because it's like, again, another mission, like teaching, we teach friends, like they have a backpack with rocks in it. Mm-hmm. And every time you make a mistake, you put a rock in your backpack. And Jesus Christ, not only especially when you make covenants with him, he takes off that backpack and he puts it on himself and he carries the weight for you. It's a physical weight that is gone when you repent, when you change. And we have an opportunity to choose. That's why we're here, is to choose to follow Jesus Christ, to make our lives so much easier by choosing to follow him, by choosing to follow the example he set and use the gift that he did give us.
I love that. You talked about it just being joy. I remember being, I used to be in the stake and had the opportunity to listen to one of our stake presidency members every year talk to the young women about repentance. And he did this fantastic job about how this is an awesome thing. Like when he was bishop and people would come in, he was so excited. He's like, I'm so glad you're here. that it's not something that we need to have shame or, you know what I mean? It's an amazing thing. And with that joy, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, or the cross, not crossed. But we are the joy that was set before him while he suffered. That was us. That was he saw us, he knew us, and he was joyful to do that for us. And that is why he did it, is because he loves us. And so he offered us that gift of repentance. And I loved being perfected through Christ's atonement. It's something in the temple that it talked about, and it stood out to me this week, was that it's through him. And we can find joy when we get rid of that, when we let that all go and give that to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, that we're able to be free. Mm-hmm. And we have the joy.
Mm-hmm. I love the joy part, because that is, I feel like, encompasses the atonement of Jesus Christ, even though there's so much focus on what he endured and what he went through, and there's a not so somber, I don't know the right word, but there's a reverence, which is important. But I also feel like, I feel like I'm not telling you the story because you know the story. I had a friend.
So be new to me.
Yeah. You know all my stories. Okay, I had a friend, and they love Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And I, for Christmas, made them it was me, my mom, and my aunt. We all made and worked on it was like a little, how would you describe it?
It's like a shadow box, kind of.
That's the word. I couldn't think of the word. Shadow box of the Shire. And I was so excited because I care a lot about this person.
And it was way cool. Mm-hmm.
And we worked so hard, on it. And I cared that I'd had like so much love for this person. And I was excited to make it for them and to give it to them. And that was my favorite part. It was not about the gift, but it was about watching them be excited when they received that gift. And watching them use it and be excited to have it. It was more about seeing their joy, and it made me excited because I cared about them and I loved them and I wanted to see them excited. And I think about Jesus Christ with his atonement it was hard. Like, what we did was nothing compared to what he went through, but it was hard work preparing that and creating that. But Jesus Christ going through his atonement and following through with his atonement because he loved us so much. He was so excited to watch us change. He was so excited to save us that he had so much joy, even though it was so hard.
Yeah.
And so when we repent, when we use his gift, it's like, when we give a friend a gift that we care about a lot, we love watching them use it. We love watching them appreciate it. And that makes us excited. That makes them excited. Uh-huh. And it's, so repentance is it's hard and it's changed, but we're using what he's given us to change. And I feel like this talk talked so much about grace, about because of his atonement, we can't have joy because we don't need to sit and beat ourselves down when we make a mistake. We don't have to sit and dwell on that, but we can have hope and joy that there's a second chance. There's an opportunity to try again too.
Mm-hmm. And I, what you were just saying is, I feel like, I mean, there's so many reasons that I think sometimes we don't repent, right? We're supposed to repent daily, and sometimes it's huge things and sometimes it's little things. But I think sometimes we don't repent because of shame. Or like she talks about, I did a little studying into like shame versus godly sorrow and kind of the difference, and how Satan wants us to feel like we're not worthy. When you talk about shame, like she says, doesn't tell us we made a mistake. It tells us we are our mistakes. Satan wants us to stay in the dark. He's the thief of hope. And I remember, I think it's natural for us to do that. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, there's plenty of times in my life. I remember when we lived in Idle Falls. So you were probably two, and President, not Benson. Oh my goodness.
I don't know. I was two.
You were two. You're supposed to know these Monson? Things. No. Right before. My mind is blank.
Monson seems like before.
Anyways, the prophet had given us a challenge to read the Book of Mormon by the end of the year. And in true me style, I procrastinated, and I had three little kids. And I remember, I've always thought, like, you know, I made stupid mistakes when I was a teenager. We all make dumb mistakes. And I used to think, did I repent of that? Am I good? Like, I always worried that I wasn't. And sometimes it would kind of weigh on me. And I remember taking the challenge. And I ended up reading the Book of Mormon in like a month, which is, as the mom of three little kids, was amazing. And so I remember a day we had a basement, and Dad came home, and I was just sitting in the basement in the recliner reading my Book of Mormon, and the three of you had taken yarn and had gone around upstairs on the main floor, and you could, it was like a circle, you could run in the circle from the kitchen to the living room to the kitchen to the living room. And there was yarn that had just been traced around, and then it had gone down to the basement where I was, and then back up. And Dad came home and was like following the yarn, like, "Are you good?" And I was just in tears reading the Book of Mormon, because I cannot find it to this day, and I should have marked it. But I remember something profoundly stuck out to me that talked about, "You've been forgiven. Why are you dwelling on these things?" And it just. And I don't think it would have stood out to me as much if I had just been like, I'm not advocating to like procrastinate, but for me, I was like just in set, I was in feast mode, mm-hmm. like of just eating it up. And it really stood out to me, but that was an experience that I remember just, but it was so long. I was in my 30s by then. And this was back like when I was a teenager that I worried about, have I really been forgiven of that? Like, so I think it's that shame. It's Satan who works overtime on us. And makes us think that we're actually not worthy, that, oh, that's not a real thing, you shouldn't have done that, you're actually a bad person. So I think it's, I love that she addressed that. That's a lot of reason that sometimes we don't take advantage mm-hmm. of the atonement, of Christ's yeah. atonement.
I must be your daughter, because I do the same thing. I think a lot of people do struggle with
you're welcome.
The feeling God, why you love everything for me. Oh, no. It's not a bad thing, because I think it's normal. I think we all experience that. I feel like everyone with, especially, like, repentance and forgiveness, it's hard to not beat ourselves up and be like, okay, but, like, did I get forgiven? It's yeah. like, I, like, did I? And there was a period of time in my life where I, too, felt like I wasn't forgiven for a lot of things. And there was a quote. I was telling you this quote the other day. I can't remember if it was by Ben or Iring. I tried to find it, and I didn't look hard enough. So that's on me. But it was about how, talking about the Spirit and how through the repentance process, if we are feeling the Spirit, if we are feeling the promptings and the feelings of the Spirit continually in our day-to-day lives, that is the receipt of the atonement of Jesus Christ working in our lives. That is how we can tell that we are truly repenting and changing, is because we can feel the Spirit. And we're not perfect, and I feel like there's such an expectation in our world today to this be this huge amount of perfect, to never make a mistake, to never maybe slip up and say a swear word. I don't know, I'm trying to think of it. Yeah. It's like on the spot, but to be perfect, to be mm-hmm. the best sibling in the entire world, there's, I feel like, in all of us have this standard of perfection that we're trying to reach that's not attainable, especially on the mission. I think a lot of sisters struggle. This is a very big sister problem, sister missionary problem, and I struggle
with
this.
I think women especially are mm-hmm. have that.
No,
go ahead,
true.
Sorry.
No, you're good. But I feel like there's this level of perfection that it's so hard to achieve, and especially being a missionary where you are in the field, you are out. My mission president always called it war. You are in war. You are in a battle, because it is a battle. And we talk about how the war in heaven didn't end in heaven. It got moved to earth. Mm. And how we're still fighting in that battle. And we're on war ground, and Satan's going to work hardest. Especially missionaries, I know there was so many missionaries that just had the standard of I need to be the best. If I am so tired and I need a 5-second break, I'm sinning. Like, it was, that's how I felt, at least.
It should be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And our best is going to look different every single day. And that is something that I learned so deeply. And that's where grace comes in. As you are giving your wholehearted best, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ will make up the rest. He will do what he can as we turn to him. And there was a quote in here. I have to turn my phone on to find it. She says, it's talking about a bird flying. It says, once at the beach, I saw a bird flying into the wind, flapping its wings so hard, almost frenetically, that was a word, but staying in the same place. Then I noticed another bird higher up. It had caught an updraft and was floating easily, unburdened in the wind. That's the difference between trying to do this by ourselves and turning to our Savior, letting him lift us with healing in his wings. I think our best is going to look different every day, but it will look perfect as we turn to Jesus Christ, because he will magnify what we are giving. And I remember my third transfer, we were at a Christmas party, and it was a war Christmas party, and we had like a decent amount of friends there. I was new, and I was training a sister who I love with my whole heart, but she had gone off, and it was Christmas time. It was hard to be away from home, and so she was kind of gone off, and I felt like a part of me was kind of just doing it by myself, and I was so overwhelmed, and the members were asking me to do things, other missionaries asked me to do so many things, and I felt like I was running around like chicken cut out, like a chicken with my head cut off. And I was like, I was still brand new at this. I had no idea what I was doing. And I just was like, I can't do this. I felt so inadequate. And I felt like so much was being asked of me at once that I was like, I can't do this. And I remember right before I had left I got like bashed by a friend. She was making some really crazy comments too. And so I just like needed a second. And I stepped away. I had probably 30 seconds. I was trying to find my comp. I had 30 seconds. And I stepped into a side room. And I just knelt down. And I was just like, Heavenly Father, I can't do this. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do all this at once. Like, I felt like I had so much on my plate. And I was so new. I was homesick too. I was my first home away from Christmas too. And it was hard. And I was like, I can't do this. And I just knelt down. And it was like the shortest, most heartfelt prayer I could muster. And then I got out. And I just felt so much strength. I was able to, everything worked out. I had so much more peace, and my elasticity, my ability to do more was increased, because instead of just relying on myself, I was relying on the atonement of Jesus Christ, and I was doing my best, even though my best was so far from perfect. Mm-hmm. It was so far from perfect, and I was making mistakes, and I had no idea what I was doing, but because I took the time to remember and rely on Jesus Christ, He made up the difference. He made it so I could fly, I could have peace, I could have ease and strength in a situation where I felt so out of control, so inadequate, and so imperfect. But He made up the difference. And that's what happens when we repent, when we change, when we rely on Him. He makes up the difference for us because we are choosing Him. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important part. It's that decision of choosing Him. So what, we made a mistake. We choose Jesus Christ, and that makes up the difference. That erases those mistakes. That is what changes us, is because we have a willing heart to follow Him and to be like Him. And that's where God looks. He doesn't look at our mistakes. He looks at where our hearts are at and where we're trying to be. He doesn't look at where we've been. He looks at where we're trying to go.
I love that. It reminds me of when she said in the talk, she talked about affectionate obedience, mm-hmm. which I don't think I've ever actually heard that before. So yeah, affectionate obedience versus perfect obedience, where she said we're not going to have perfect obedience yet. We don't have that yet. But affectionate obedience is where we turn to God over and over again through our trials, and we rely on Him. In 2 Nephi, I know it's 4:17 through 19, he says, Nephi is talking, and he says, "Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me His great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am! Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which do easily beset me." Sounds like all of us, right? Mm-hmm. "And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins." And you think of, like, when you think of Nephi, I have never thought of him as someone who maybe didn't look kindly on himself, mm-hmm. who struggled with that. But I love what he did. And he turned back and he said, "Nevertheless, I know in whom I have entrusted. My God hath been my support." So he taught us that we need to turn back. We need to focus on the Savior. As we focus on the Savior, those hard things become easier, mm-hmm. and we'll rely on Him. And mm-hmm. We'll be able to get through those challenges, those thoughts of and doubts of self-worth that Satan has us mm-hmm. think about ourselves.
Yeah. So I think with Nephi and with all of us, is Satan doesn't want us to remember who we are, our most important identity as a child of God, and who we can become, and why we are here on earth. Because Jesus Christ, His atonement was given for us to reach our fullest potential. It wasn't an act. It wasn't given because, oh, like if Adam and Eve fell, like, oh, like just in case. It was, they needed to fall so that we could come, so we could use His atonement. It was never, repentance was never the backup plan, it was always the plan. Mm-hmm. Change was always the plan, because we were sent here to change, and Satan doesn't want us to change. He just wants us to stay the same. Like, oh, woe is me. I keep making these mistakes. This is who I am.
Yeah.
I am identified by, my life is revolves around this mistake, instead of, okay, I messed up once, and maybe I messed up twice or three times, but I'm going to keep trying and keep overcoming until I do change.
Mm-hmm.
because we're all going to have different trials, we're all going to have different struggles, but no matter what the trial or struggle is, the atonement of Jesus Christ is there for us to hold on to and to help to make us take that step forward and to continue to grow. It's because of how much love God has for us as his children that he wants to give us every ample opportunity. Like, I think, I'm not a mom, you're a mom.
I am a mom.
So when I think about, like, kids, like, you're going to give your kids opportunities to learn and to grow and to do things that are, like, hard and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And to, you don't take us out of situations that are going to, you're not going to stop our growth by cushioning us all the time. Like riding a bike, you're going to have to let go at some point. You're going to have to let them fall.
And it's a hard thing to do as a mom. Mm-hmm.
I ran into a sprinkler. Do you remember that? I went straight to a sprinkler.
Oh, learning how to do things on your own. It's, mm-hmm. it's hard sometimes. And it takes... I've said this before, I think, to each of you, that you never realize how much your parents love you until you become a parent yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think about that, and then I think about how much the Savior must love us, because he loves us way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, sometimes it's unfathomable, because you just think about your kids and you're like, oh, they're gonna, when you guys make mistakes, that doesn't change my love for you. Mm-hmm. You know, someone shared the other day about how, like, if when a baby is learning how to walk and they fall down, you don't go, well, you're not very good. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, you've got it. And you have total confidence that they're going to get it. And you're like, come on, get up and do that again. And then they do. They eventually learn how to walk. And I think the Savior does the same thing for us. He knows that it's not going to be okay, I did it one time and now I'm perfect in this. I had an experience once where, okay, I do remember which kid it was, but one of you kids, I had a day where I think we repeatedly said, you need to do this. You need to, you know, like, it was just, and I was frustrated because it was something that was not done. And I remember driving out of the subdivision in the car by myself. And I was like, I think I even said it out loud. How many times do I have to tell her? I was so mad. I'm like, how many times? And the Spirit whispered quite loudly to me, yes, how many times do I have to tell you? But yet I still love you and I still give you those chances. And it stuck with me that I think it almost made it easier, because we're all going to make these mistakes. But it's turning to the Savior and realizing that what he did for us. And then to find joy in it and to not beat ourselves up when we do make those mistakes. I think that's one of the most important things. And to realize, I love Sister Runia and how she's like, this is your, okay, I'm doing hand gestures. This is your worth, and this is your obedience, and how the worth didn't change regardless of mm-hmm. obedience. I think that was one of my favorite themes mm-hmm. of her talk, was just that our worth doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not tied to obedience.
I love that. So. It's true, because we were put in this situation to make these mistakes. He's not going to be like, oh, you messed up, even though he put us in these situations to grow and to learn from mm-hmm. them. And are you talking? I have a friend. I went roller skating with a friend and we were roller skating and they're trying to get me to do like one-footed turns. I like normally blade. I'm a blader. And they're like, try roller skating because it's cooler. And I agree.
Old school.
I looked dumb with the blades. But anyways, I think they're still cool. We should bring them back. But he was trying to get me to do one-footed and turn, and I was like, dude, like, no. I'm going to fall, and I'm going to trip literally everyone in this ring. I was like, I'm not doing it. And he said to me, and it's just something that always sticks out, and he said it a couple times. We were just talking about, like, trying new things and things like that. He was like, how are you going to learn if you don't fall on your butt?
That's good.
And he was like, how are you going to learn how to do it if you don't just try and do it? And he just was unafraid to fail. And that's something that this friend has taught me so much, was just, it's okay to fail, because that is the, you get up, you fall on your butt. Okay, it's kind of funny when you fall on your butt, when you're roller skating, you fall on your butt, and you keep going till you get it. You keep trying new things till you get it, because you have to start somewhere. And the talk, His Grace is Sufficient by Brad R. Wilcox, when he talks about playing the piano, is you just have to practice. You have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are actively moving forward in our lives toward Jesus Christ, we're going to veer off the course. We're steering. We're going to be driving our car. It's going to veer off. But you just make those tiny course corrections to get to your destination. It's going to happen. Like, no matter what. And God's not gonna, he doesn't beat us up. He loves us just the same because we are trying. I think that's us showing our love for him, is because we are trying to get there instead of saying, mm-hmm. staying in the same spot. We're actively trying to get there, and we're gonna fall down. We're trying something new. Life is new for literally every single one of us. We're trying something new, and we're gonna fail when we try something new. We're gonna fall on our butt, but that's the point, because we have an opportunity to get up. Jesus Christ will offer that hand and lift us back up when we fall on our butt. He'll help us up. He'll sit down on the ground for us for a little bit too and laugh with us, because you fell down on your butt. Because that's what life is about. It's about making those mistakes and just going, whoopsies, that's kind of silly. I'm gonna try that again.
Yeah.
Because we can. Because of Jesus Christ's atonement, we can try again.
I love it. I one last thought that I had was, I loved what she talked about, is what would the Savior say if you could hear him praying for you? And so I'm going to extend the same invitation, because I think it's so cool that, like, if you were about to pray and you knelt down and right before, to just sit and think, what would the Savior say about me? And then be silent. I think that's the biggest thing, and let the Spirit just overcome you with how much he loves you. We have this in common too. she says, listen for the voice that says good things about you, the voice of the Savior, your finest friend and your Father in heaven, who is really there. Remember, their love and your worth are always great, no matter what. So I love that. I love the invitation she shared with us. So I invite the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can promise that I've experienced this too, really fast before we end. I just have a story I wanted to share, but kind of a story. I remember, especially being out on my mission, I had a lot of conversations with my mission president where I'd be like, President, I don't think I'm doing enough. Like, I don't feel like I am doing everything God needs me to do. And I think this invitation got extended to many people, and I heard it all the time on mission, was when you get home at night before you go to bed and you're saying your evening prayers, ask God if he accepts what you gave that day. Ask him, do you accept what I did, even though maybe it wasn't as good as yesterday? Maybe you're going to try better tomorrow, but do you accept it? As you give everything you have, you can go to bed each night knowing that God loves and accepts you for who you are and who you're trying to be. And you can feel that, and you can know that. And I've experienced that time and time again on my mission. I'd get down on my knees and be like, God, did I do okay today?
Yeah.
I tried my best today. And you will feel his love for you, because he loves you as his child. He doesn't love you despite, he loves you despite your mistakes. He doesn't love you because of, but despite them, he loves you for who you are, because he knows who you are, and he loves you for who you are.
That's awesome. I love that.
Now we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.